Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Wake Up with Jesus and Coffee podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Forrester. And again, because we are in quarantine times and he is the only one here that I've really seen in weeks.
I'm bored. I need something to do.
Yeah. Joining me again is my husband, Matt.
Hello.
So, because it is quarantine times, and we can't really go out a whole lot.
The quarantine times.
I promise we're not making a joke of it. It's a very serious issue right now, but to be truthful, you know, it's crazy times right now we're in.
I'm essential.
Yeah, he's essential. He's having to go out and work every day. I can still work from my couch, which has not been healthy for my mental state, I feel.
It's not good for the couch either.
It's really not. It's not good for our dog either. I think by the time we get done with this whole thing, every time I leave the house, he's gonna freak out.
He's already a basket case. So when you add, you know, you've been with him all day every day, which is what he wants, and then you're no longer with him all day every day, it's going to be quarantine times for the dog.
Yeah, poor baby. But he's enjoying me being home. I enjoyed it for the first little bit. Now I'm ready to see people. I'm ready to be out. More importantly, I'm ready for, you know, especially just for the sake of our country, for the sake of the world, and everyone, I'm just ready for this to be over. You know, and I know God has a plan, and I hope that, you know, through this, he is getting the glory and he is getting the honor, and we are taking this time to grow closer to him, which I feel like, you know, we always say we don't have time, or we make excuses. Oh, I don't have time to read scripture today. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to, you know, do whatever, but now is the time we really do. We honestly do. So I think that's one of the really good things that's come out of this whole situation is now we have more time to actually spend with God without having to make up excuses. Because let's be honest, for the most part of us, we're all sitting at home right now doing nothing.
I'm essential.
Yeah, he's essential. And speaking of, just because, you know, the status of where things are, I haven't been able to really go out and try and find nice coffees like normal.
And some places aren't shipping anymore.
Yeah. But you did ship some, or try and get some Bones coffee.
Yes, I've got some Bones coffee on the way.
Yes. So it didn't make it here in time. So tonight I'm literally just drinking Folgers, which nothing wrong with that.
It's the standard.
It gets you by. I did put a little bit of mocha stuff in it. So
is that the stuff that I bought to try to make the dalgona coffee?
It is.
It did not work.
No, you got to have actual instant. We'll try that again, and we'll post it on the Instagram.
Hopefully it turns out better this time. I bought the wrong thing. Before you think, you just whip it, and I understand that, but the product that I purchased had some like extra chocolate flavor, and I thought, man, that'd be good. It didn't work out.
Yeah, no. It was still good. It was still tasty. But yeah, just really hoping for the sake of everyone that this ends soon. And like I said, you know, God's in control and God's sovereign. This didn't surprise him. He knew this was coming, and, you know, he has a purpose for it. So while I'm happy that, you know, we're being able to have more time in the Lord, I am ready for some normalcy.
In the meantime, you should all drink your coffee and get ready for today's talk, right?
Yes. So when you should be listening to this, this should be coming out probably either it'll be on a Thursday or either a Friday. So either Monday, Thursday, or Good Friday, which is right smack in the middle of Holy Week. So that's what we're going to be talking about this episode, is just breaking down each days of Holy Week and what each day symbolizes, and then more importantly, what Sunday specifically, Resurrection Sunday, symbolizes for us as the church. All right, so again, our topic for this week is Holy Week, and more specifically, we'll be going through, like I said previous, the different days, but more importantly, Resurrection Sunday. Mm-hmm. So Matt, what has Easter looked like? I know before I say this question, I know Easter is sadly going to look a lot different for most of us this year, but how has Easter in the past typically looked for you?
Colorful.
How so?
Are you talking about when I was a kid or?
Well, both.
Okay. So, as a child, my parents usually would get me some kind of chocolate or a chocolate bunny or candy. We would hunt eggs and color eggs, you know, the regular kind of Easter traditions. I always dressed up in something colorful.
Oh my goodness. I'm sorry to interrupt, but every year my grandparents, my grandmother specifically, had to buy me an Easter dress. I remember going to Burlington Coat Factory or like Kohl's or JCPenney's every year. And
if
just
you go into Burlington Coat Factory with $500, you are literally a king.
Says Michael Scott.
Yeah.
Sorry for that little office interjection. But yeah, sorry.
I'm never sorry for that. So yeah, you know, that's kind of what it looked like when we were younger, and as I've gotten older, and you know, faith has gotten stronger. First, we're always church on Easter, but mm-hmm. but the past few years, as things got better and better and closer with me, Easter Sunday has been like party Sunday,
mm-hmm.
like even more so than Christmas for me. You know, the worship band at church, we pull out all the stops, and you know, you and I the past couple of years have dressed up and worn colors and tried mm-hmm. to, you know, look nice and Eastery while we do all of the fun Easter songs and the songs about resurrection and all that kind of stuff. So it, you know, the past few years you've been there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always a good time and always a much better time of remembrance of what we're celebrating than, you know, when you're a kid and you're hiding eggs. Turns out when you don't hide eggs, you think about Jesus more.
Well, did you ever have the resurrection eggs when you were a kid?
The what?
You've never heard of the resurrection eggs? Wow.
No.
Okay. Y'all, if you have kids and you're listening to this and you've never heard of resurrection eggs, stop this podcast right now. Google them.
Come back and watch it, though.
And then come back. Oh, yeah. Come back and watch it. But, like, I remember every year growing up, my Sunday school teacher would do the resurrection eggs. And she'd give us each a couple of eggs, and we'd have to open a specific color, and it'd have like
plastic eggs, right?
Yeah, plastic okay. eggs. But one egg would have like a crown of thorns, and it would have like a little thing and talking about that, and then one egg would have the nails, and then one egg would have, you know, like a whip for where they, you know, whipped him, and
the cat of nine tails.
Yeah. Well, and then one egg would have, you know, just a pebble in it, symbolizing the stone being rolled away. And I just remember every year, my Sunday school teacher, we would go through that, and she would just tell us basically the Easter story through those resurrection eggs.
Mm-hmm.
So, definitely something, probably won't have time to order it this year, but if you've got small kids, definitely something that
if you've got small
year.
Kids and Amazon Prime, go for it.
Yeah, yeah, and well, Amazon Prime's still taking a while. They might not be able to get it here before Easter.
So we're not ordering toilet paper.
That's true.
Should come in time.
That's true. Anyway, sorry to go off on that tangent.
That's what I'm here for.
But yeah, what else were you saying about Easter?
That's pretty much it.
Pretty much it. Yeah, I know Easter this year is definitely going to be different. I know in the years past, we've gotten together with our families.
Cookout. I'll probably be cooking here at home this year.
And there's not going to be that, which, you know, is sad. And then typically, like you said, we always have a big worship service with our band. And we won't have that either, but we did have the opportunity right before our state went on lockdown. Because basically we're now in sort of like a shelter in place type of situation where we can't really leave our homes except for the essentials or if we're an essential worker.
I'm essential.
He's essential. So very sad, but we did have that opportunity to get together and still, you know, we made sure we practiced social distancing as much as we could. We didn't high five, we didn't hug each other, you know, but it was really nice just to still be able to worship with our band, even if it was just on a random Tuesday night. Monday night, excuse me.
Yeah, nice to pre-record something like that. So anything that looks like normalcy really goes a long way during these times for a lot of people. I know, you know, for us that haven't seen our band in nearly a month, just to get together and do that, I mean, it was like having all your old friends back. So any shred of normalcy that you can get. So I would say that if you're doing Easter this Sunday at home, you know, if you have a big cookout kind of thing with your family, still cook at home with your family that's in your house. Don't you know, get together with older people, that kind of thing. Still put on Easter clothes. Do everything you can that makes it almost normal, and I promise it'll mean something to you.
Absolutely. So this past Sunday was what marked the first day of Holy Week, which is Palm Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So Matt, do you know why we call it Palm Sunday or what involves Palm Sunday?
Yes, but I would rather you explain it.
Matthew. So, Palm Sunday, basically, it was when Jesus was riding into Jerusalem. And long story short, we actually read it, the story, in Luke chapter 19, I think it was.
I'm not sure off the top of my head.
It was in Luke chapter 19.
Somewhere around there, because it's around the time that it says that Jesus set his face on Jerusalem. Like a stone and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and he, instead of riding on a big, you know, horse or stallion, he actually told some of his disciples to get him a colt, and he told them, which is a donkey, and he told them, you know, where to find the donkey. And so him riding into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey was more of like a symbol of peace and serenity versus, you know, if he were to come in on a big stallion, that was more of like a symbol of power and war. Which, if you think about it, so as he entered the city, all of the townspeople and his disciples, you know, they were swaying palm branches and they were speaking in their language so that the Roman citizens couldn't understand what they were saying. But they were saying, you know, Hosanna, you know, to God in the highest. And
it was a political protest.
It was a political protest because in their mind, they believed that Jesus was the king. I don't think they necessarily believed he was, like, besides his disciples, of course, believed truly that he was the Messiah. But they believed he was a king sent by God who was going to basically overthrow Roman rule and that they could be, you know, free from Roman rule.
To go a little further, what they wanted Jesus to do was to come in, take over, and give them their land and their freedom back from Rome. And the problem with that is, you know, that is when Jesus said he was king, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, instead of taking it the way that Jesus meant it, which first nobody then got it. Nobody understood what he was doing. Instead of taking it that way, they instead placed on him what they thought he should be and what they thought he should do. To them, a king would rule and free his people. They didn't realize that what he was doing was so much bigger because they were so wrapped up in God or Jesus being what they wanted in God.
Yeah, they were blinded by their desires and what they wanted him to be.
And we have to be careful today, practical application, of not trying to turn God into what we want God to be. Otherwise, you end up in an AR church.
Absolutely. That message, this time, it just hit me really harder than it has in years past, this Palm Sunday did. Just because I was thinking about everything going on in the world. And, you know, we can become so blinded by things that we want that we, you know, we can't see that God has such a greater plan at hand. You know, they wanted a political king, someone to overthrow Rome, but instead God sent a king who was going to basically save all of humanity, not just them. So it's pretty interesting. So the second day of Holy Week that we really celebrate is Maundy Thursday. And I'll be honest, like, until I started going to the church that we came to, that we go to now, which was about 5 years ago, I had no idea. I had never heard of Maundy Thursday.
I hadn't either before where we go now. And I've been going to New Life now for, what, 11 years? And until I got there, I had never heard of it.
Yeah, it wasn't something that was typically taught at previous churches I've been to, but I'm so glad that New Life decided to make that a part of the celebration as well.
Oh, yeah.
And typically, like I said, this year is going to be different, but typically we would also have a service for that as well. We would all gather Thursday night. The worship band typically will sing songs.
A lot of times, sad songs.
Yeah, about the cross. Our preacher will, you know, give a little sermon, a little short sermon. And then we all take communion and just kind of reflect on what that day means. So, Maundy means mandate.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Mandate Thursday, yes.
Yeah. And so the mandate was what Jesus was basically setting the example of when he took communion with his 12 disciples. You know, he was basically saying, giving the commandment or the mandate that they are to, you know, love God, but also to love others. And he showed that by, you know, washing of the disciples' feet. He lowered himself down, you know, as a servant to wash their feet.
Yeah, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
This is the greatest commandment, basically, right?
Yes.
And, yeah, that is the mandate. That is the point of that Thursday service.
So, and it's very commonly, and of course, all of Holy Week right now is celebrated in length, you know, at the Vatican and in different places around the world, and they do, you know, different celebrations as far as feet washing and different stuff like that, just to commemorate what Jesus did for his disciples that night and what we should do thereafter.
So, I agree. You should wash your feet.
Should wash your feet. Side note, we washed each other's feet for our wedding. We did a feet washing.
We did, and you did not dry my feet off good enough, and my socks got wet.
I was nervous. I was getting married.
I was nervous. I was touching feet.
I was touching feet. But yeah, on a serious note, very important day that we remember to, you know, love God, but also to love others.
It's a very sobering night, too. It's supposed to be a time of reflection to start to look at what was happening so that when Sunday comes around, the celebration part of it hits that much harder, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, Maundy Thursday, very important.
Yeah. And then, of course, the next day following, which is Friday, which we all know.
Friday.
Bueno Friday. Good Friday. A lot of businesses close on Friday. I remember when I was working at the bank, people would call us that Thursday before and be like, y'all open tomorrow?
Yeah, people think the bank is closed on Good Friday a lot.
Which it should be.
It's not a government holiday.
I know, but still. But on a serious note, you know, even though it is called Good Friday and it is good in a sense, it's a very... As a Christian, it should be also a sad day. I mean, it's very sad, but it's also very uplifting.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Well, what happened on Calvary. So, you know, not only did Jesus die on the cross, and it's one thing to say, you know, that he loved us so much that he died on the cross for our sins, but he didn't only die. He, at that point, he took on the wrath of God for us. So he took the place of us where that we couldn't feel, and he satisfied God's wrath for us. And, you know, as Trinitarian believers, you know, we believe in the Trinity, three in one. You've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So basically, it was an act of love that day that he was basically giving of himself as a sacrifice to fulfill what we could never fulfill ourselves.
Yeah, so to be short and not to preach an entire Easter message right here on this, which you should listen to your preachers on Sunday do, probably through a live stream. Going by what the Bible says, man is depraved, we cannot save ourselves, and God cannot or will not allow sin. So that being the case, there is a punishment, there is a sacrifice that needs to be made for sin. The wages of sin is death. Therefore, Jesus comes, becomes a man, and he is the propitiation for our sins, which means that he was declared guilty in our place. So, God poured out his wrath because somebody had to incur the wrath. But God is not wrath without love. He did it because of love. So it is a very loving thing what he did in order to save mankind, but his wrath was also justified. So you've got justice, you've got wrath, you've got mercy on people, you've got his grace towards men. It all happens at the same time. It's one big overflow of God's person onto earth.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole day, you know, it should be just a reflection of, you know, how much... Basically, God cared for us in a sense that, you know, he gave his son for us. He gave him basically himself for us.
And at the end of the day, he gets the glory.
He gets the glory.
That's
we don't.
That's the entire point, mm-hmm. is that we we were not necessary parts. It wasn't done because he, you know, had to have us, but it was done be for his honor, his glory,
mm-hmm.
to save his creation so that he's the one that is pointed to above all else.
Absolutely. And then the final day of Holy Week, which is the big, big celebration day, is Resurrection Sunday.
Party day.
And so this is where, you know, we celebrate the fact that, yes, he did die on the cross, but you know, he didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he rose, and he is alive, and he is risen. And that is something, y'all, just to celebrate of, and just be amazed of, that we celebrate a God who, you know, he didn't die like all the other religions and stay dead. No, he's alive.
I'm actually looking up a verse real quick.
I was going to say, like, are you looking up the verse that Paul said?
Yes. Okay. Exactly that one.
Yeah, that verse that you're referring to, we were watching the newest American gospel film, which is Christ Crucified, just to give it a little plug.
That's a good one.
It's a good one.
So I found what I was looking for. 1 Corinthians 15:12-19 says, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied." Hmm. Basically saying that what Christ did was good, it was excellent, what happened was incredible, and it was the saving of mankind. But without the resurrection, without the proof, without them touching the holes in his hands, then we have nothing. Without the resurrection, we are in vain. We are still in our sins. There has been no Messiah, and we are to be pitied because we believe something that is totally false.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Paul's saying there. So
yeah,
the resurrection is a big deal. It is the proof that what we believe is true.
Yeah, so the proof of our faith, you know. And people will say, you know, we have blind faith. Well, we really don't. You know, the proof of our faith was made right there on Resurrection Day.
Yep, the stone was rolled away, and he waltzed out.
Mm-hmm.
Many people saw him after that, talked to him. Lots of things happened. And then after that, 12 men went to their death.
Yeah.
After being tortured.
Well, actually, 11.
11. Tortured, tortured, beaten, all kinds of things. And not one of them, on any of the accounts in the Bible, ever recanted their faith, because they saw it themselves. They knew it was true. And if, you know, if you believe in Christ, then you have no reason to go back on it, because it happened.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, so we all know that this Easter is going to be a little different, but, you know, just don't lose fact of what this day is all about.
The resurrection was the same last year as it's going to be this year.
And it's funny, because we celebrate it on, or we say we celebrate it on one specific day of the year, but really, as Christians, we should be celebrating the resurrection every single day of our lives.
Well, that and every Sunday, you know, with the message that comes, they should all include the gospel, Christ crucified and raised from the mm-hmm. dead. So it's not that we don't celebrate the resurrection every Sunday. We should, and we should every day. This is just one of those days that we pick to make it, like,
official.
Yeah, official. Yeah, to make it Facebook official.
Absolutely. So before we close, just wanted to plug a few things. Because, again, I know we're in quarantine times. Most of us really don't have a lot to do.
The
quarantine times. We don't really have a lot to do. So make sure you're, again, as we said earlier on in this podcast, that you're just taking time to spend in you know, the Word of God. Because we actually, let's be honest, we've all had time. We just say we didn't have time. So you have time. You absolutely have time now. Even if you didn't before, you have time now.
I think it's important to let everybody know that everyone that lives in your house that you are with every day during the quarantine, they are your quarantine.
Your quarantine. So John Piper actually just released something today, which was really cool. I don't know how he does it. Within a matter of like 3 weeks, he like wrote an entire book about the coronavirus. He's had time. But he just released that today. You can actually order it on paperback or on Kindle. But he went through and he actually did an audio recording of his whole book and went ahead and released it free to the public. So you can download.
It's actually him speaking?
Yeah,
like it's reading
him,
the whole book out?
Him reading the whole book.
Nice.
I actually started it today, so I'm hoping to finish it tomorrow. But it's just him and giving his thoughts and, you know, pointing us to the biblical aspect of, you know, the coronavirus and how it ties into the gospel in Christ. It's been really good so far. But like I said, you can download it for free on the website, Desiring God. And I think it's on YouTube as well.
Listen to it with your quarantine.
With your quarantine this weekend. And then also, as I said earlier, just to plug it again, the American Gospel, well, the both American Gospels are available, but this, specifically the second one was just released to the public not too long ago, and it's called Christ Crucified.
You should watch them both.
Absolutely. Watch them both.
Since you have time.
Yeah.
With your quarantine.
With your quarantine. but specifically, the second one digs into, you know, why Christ had to be crucified and what that substitutionary payment was that we didn't necessarily get into detail on, but they certainly do.
Yeah, they definitely do. They do a lot of apologetic type stuff too, where they'll show other viewpoints and then show biblically how it works out and how it shows dangerous teachings and philosophies that have been spread over the years, and then they show that, biblically speaking, most of those philosophies can be, with one verse, disproven immediately.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Really good. So if you're trying to find something to watch this Easter weekend, definitely, you know, search for those, and listen to John Piper. But as always, you know, remember to wake up with coffee and, most importantly, Jesus, and happy Easter.
Happy Easter with your quarantine.
Until next time.